It's you again. I'm Gabe Bullard.
And I'm Devin Katayama.
And movies were invented in Louisville. Well, that's not really the case, but one crucial aspect of the movie industry did come about here.
And that's essentially this idea of the blockbuster video.
Yeah, of, well, the video chain.
not the video chain.
The blockbuster as in the line around the corner.
Right. And that came with Jaws, the movie Jaws? Is that what?
It was Jaws in the 70s is when people started saying that, but it happened in Louisville about 130 years earlier. Fred Miller is an artist and writer here in Louisville, and he has been doing some research and writing on this guy, John Banvard?
Banvard. It's actually originally from Bonnevard. They were French Huguenots. It's not a very common name still.
Who was this guy?
He was an American painter, originally from New York, a big family. His father was an architect. He had a construction business. And he came to Louisville in his teens.
Banvard showed this interest in theater and arts, and he eventually got a job on a traveling showboat on the river.
Chapman's Showboat. He was an actor. He painted sets and did all kinds of things and went to Paducah for a while. There was this whole class back then of itinerant players who just sort of bumped around because the little river towns, they couldn't support their own theater. But if people dropped in on a boat, people would splurge and come out to see them.
And that's the start where we see in Banvard's career that he is looking at the river and he is looking at art.
The Mississippi River at that time was just such a cultural boundary. You know, people had crossed it, but it was still, like, mentally, in the imagination, it was the borderline of the Western frontier.
So Banvard went to the Mississippi River, traveled up and down it, slept underneath the canoe with a rifle, was hunting his food, and began making sketches.
When he finished his trip, Banvard set up in a workshop in Louisville, and he started painting. And he painted what ended up becoming a panorama. It's a precursor to the movies, pretty much. It's a canvas, a very long canvas that scrolled, and Banvard would give a lecture, and piano music would play behind it.
Drawing in the Scientific American of how he displayed it with the upright spools that cranked it, and then he had to have something that would hold the top edge of the painting up in the middle so it didn't sag. There were rows of pulleys, and there was a rope sewn to the top of the painting that ran between the pulleys so he kept it upright and turning. It was called the 3 mile painting, but it was actually originally about a quarter of a mile long, but he was trying to paint something like 3,000 miles of river.
How tall was it?
It was 12 feet tall.
So it's just a long, long, long canvas.
Yes.
Painted, and it would scroll from left to right when people went to watch these panoramas.
And then from right to left when the next group of people came. He didn't rewind it. He just did the trip backwards.
So this thing is essentially like the movies, their version of the movies. John booked a theater to give his lecture and roll this big canvas.
What happens?
Opening night was Monday. It was June 29, 1846. It rained and nobody came. There was a notice in the paper. You can go find the newspaper that the Morning Courier, the Louisville Morning Courier, and it introduces this thing as this Banvard's Leviathan painting, wonder of the world, the greatest achievement of individual enterprise on record. And nobody came. But the next day, he went to the docks and he gave out free tickets, and then he built up some word of mouth. I think his first paying audience, he made $10, which was not bad.
Yeah, pretty
then.
Good back then.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get a sense of what this is like. If I go down there and I pay my, what is it, a pen? What do they used to call money back
then? I think it was actually...
Money?
All right, I pay my money.
Your half penny?
I pay my half penny.
I think it was actually 50 cents.
50
I think
cents.
The admission
Ooh.
Was 50 okay. cents. Less for kids, I
Okay.
Think.
Yeah. So I sit down on a grass slab or whatever they have there? Or
no, this was in a building called the Apollo Saloon. Or sometimes they called it the Apollo Rooms, which I think if they were doing a classier sort of entertainment. And so there was seating, and there would be a big crowd, and Banford was there with this giant painting, and it, I don't know, I imagine it must have creaked. And then pretty soon, it was just packed. And there are ongoing notices in the paper of, once again, it's crammed and jammed. Everybody's coming out to see this painting.
And these audiences, this was really the first big blockbuster.
Yes. Yes, exactly. This is the first blockbuster motion picture.
And this ended up being a really big hit. Word started spreading around about it. Extra trains were running into Louisville, apparently, to bring people to see this thing.
The Guinness Book of World Records actually even mentioned it. And John didn't invent the panorama, but he was one of the first to make it really big and to make an event out of the panorama.
And there were a lot of panoramas back then after he established them as a popular form.
Banford started touring with this. He went to Boston. He went to New York. He went overseas. He had a string of shows in England. And he was this American icon, the most famous artist in the world, perhaps. Likely the first millionaire artist. He performed for the Queen. Charles Dickens saw his performances. And with this money, as other people were doing panoramas, he started traveling the world. He collected artifacts. He built a huge mansion, all from the panorama.
What's interesting, though, is that this did kickstart the whole idea of movies and the idea of picture shows, but it really faded quickly.
The medium just died out. It's just sort of a forgotten phenomenon. There were other panoramas. Other people started doing them after he found this audience for the thing. They were extremely lucrative.
So what happened to Banford? It seems like his fortunes changed pretty significantly as the panorama as an entertainment or artistic medium died out. History shows that he started a museum with all of these artifacts he had, but the last we know of this man who was once the most respected and the wealthiest artist in the world is that he died penniless and forgotten in the Dakota Territories.
The short answer to what happened to him is he founded a museum in New York, he got into competition with P.T. Barnum, and he lost.